And like I said, this is the reason we come. Well, we come to worship, really.
Yes.
I didn't come to preach. I thought I'd just come worship with you. Open your Bibles to Psalms 40, okay? And I always appreciate any time a pastor give us an opportunity to speak to folks on the unsearchable riches of Christ. Like we said, we was out preaching this morning for Brother Donald, and enjoyed the opportunity to come this way and be in service. And you pray for us tonight. I found over the years the best person to introduce all of us is the Holy Spirit of God. If he'll come and honor his word, hide us behind the cross, then when we leave, we'll say, it's good to be in the house of God tonight. Stand if you're able while we read Psalms 40, the first three verses. Notice what the psalmist said here. So I waited patiently for the Lord. And that's something I don't have is patience tonight. I'm always praying and saying, God, give me patience, but hurry up. And he inclined unto me and heard my cry. That inclined there leaves the impression it seemed like the Lord kind of stooped over. Cupped his hand back. Is that not amazing that God, we're just the dust worms of the earth, right?
Yes, sir.
That God would take, how many of us hook a worm on a hook and go fishing and think nothing about it? But God takes time out to listen to the dust worms. Is that not amazing? And then he not only inclined, not only heard my cry, he brought me up also out of a horrible pit, out of the miry clay, and he did something else and set my feet up on a rock, and then he did something else. He just didn't leave me there. He established my goings. And then he done something else, the psalmist said. And he hath put a new song in my mouth, even praise unto our God. Many shall see it and fear and shall trust in the Lord. You may be seated. I appreciate your honor in the reading of God's word. I want to try to preach to you tonight on the subject from the mire to the singing in the choir. I think that's what David said, Jerry. He brought me up out of a horrible pit of miry clay, set my feet up on a solid rock, established my goings, and put what? A new song in my mouth. He lets me sing in the choir. Ain't that amazing? You notice what he said there, he brought me. That means he had to come to where David was at. David was in a horrible pit. He was in the mire. Now, the difference between Christianity and all other religions in the world, all other religions, I don't care what they may call themselves, they teach one thing, that man has to do something to merit God's favor. We see that with all these terrorists, you know, if you bum someplace, then you'll get all these virgins, you'll merit God's favor.
Yes, sir.
Back in World War II, the kamikazes used to strap themselves to an airplane and fly into a battleship and thought that they would automatically go to heaven martyring themselves. Do something to merit God's favor. But true Christianity teaches that God comes looking for sinners.
Amen.
We see the pattern set in Adam. Adam didn't run to God when Adam had sinned, but God come looking for Adam.
Yes.
That's what the psalmist said. He come to where I was at. He come down in the pit. And he got me. He didn't say he threw a rope down there and told me you're on your own now. If you can work your way out and climb your way out, you'll be safe and everything. He said, but he brought me up. He left the impression, as the brother read about the man who had that one sheep that's gone astray. And when he got him, he put him on his back and carried him back.
Yes,
he come down in the pit and got me. The psalmist said, Jerry, and brought me up out of a horrible pit. You know, Joseph was in a pit one time, and he said there was no water there, just mire. He said, but the Lord was with me in the pit. I said, over the years, he's with him in the pit. He's with him in the prison. He's with him in the palace, was he not?
Right.
Jeremiah, they put him down in a pit, and he said, there's no water there, just mire.
Right.
And Jeremiah got discouraged, and he said, if this is what it's going to cost me to preach, I'll speak no more in his name. Said, but his word was in my heart as a burning fire, shut up in my bones, and I was weary with foregoing and could not stay. The psalmist said, he brought me up out of a horrible pit. Set my feet up on a solid rock and established my goings and put a new song. He brought me from the mire and put me in the choir. Not only did he come where he was at, but he said he set am up on a solid rock tonight. The Bible said, he that heareth my sayings and doeth them, I shall liken him to a wise man which dug deep and built his house up on the rock. When the rain descended and the flood came and the wind blew and beat upon it, it fell not, because it was what? On the rock.
Yes, sir.
That's what David said here. He said, he brought me up out of a horrible pit and set my feet up on a solid rock. Now, you say, preacher, did David ever have storms come in his life? Did the rains ever descend and the floods come and the wind blew and beat up? Yeah, well, I certainly did. I could imagine what they'd have done on the Oprah Winfrey show with David. So he's a king, right?
Yeah.
And, you know, his daughter got molested by her half-brother. Ammon molested Tamar. If you study your Bible, oh, you know that, right?
Right.
Now, could you imagine the headlines? Incest in the White House.
Right.
I mean, could you imagine what they'd do with Trump this day and age if something like that happened in his family, huh? Can you imagine? I mean, this is the beautiful psalmist of Israel here. This is a man after God's own heart. And here his daughter's been molested by her own half-brother here. David had his storms in his life, did he not? Said he brought me up out of a horrible pit of miry clay, set my feet up on a solid rock, and established my goings. Is that what he said there? Listen, don't you imagine one day whenever David's sitting on the throne, and somebody walks in, one of the servants, and says, King, we need to talk to you. We've got a problem here. Your son has molested your daughter here. Can you imagine what that would do to can you imagine that if something happened in your family like that today? You're a preacher. You're a man of God. Can you imagine when David went back to the temple to worship God, the humiliation, the shame, knowing that everybody knew about his family and everybody knew about his son, everybody knew about his daughter there. They said, David, we're glad to see the psalmist here this morning. Would you like to sing a song for us? He said, yes. I said, he brought me up out of a horrible pit of miry clay and set my feet up on a solid rock and established my going. Yes, I've got a song in my heart this morning. He brought me out of a horrible pit of miry clay and set my feet up on a solid rock and established my going. Yes, the Lord is my shepherd and I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pasture. Hey, he brought him up out of a horrible pit. He brought him from the mire and put him in the choir tonight.
Yep.
He had his storms in his life.
Yes, sir.
Can you imagine? See, the devil don't ever let up. He leaves, like the temptation in the wilderness, he leaves the Lord for a little while. He leaves you for a little while, but he'll be back tomorrow. And David one day is sitting on the throne, and I could picture one of the servants come in and said, King, we've got an awful problem. You know, your son Absalom said he's murdered his brother. Man, could you imagine what the news media would do with that, huh? I mean, this is a man after God's own heart. This is a prophet in Israel here, is he not? He's the beautiful psalmist, the Bible said. He wrote most of these psalms here. There's 150 psalms, and he wrote most of them, did he not? And can you imagine what they'd have done with that? And can you imagine David, after he went to the funeral and buried his son, and can you imagine him coming back to the temple to worship God? Have any of you ever buried a child this morning and tried to go back and praise God and give God praise for it? Listen, David said, yeah. I said, listen, I've got a song to sing this morning. He brought me up out of a horrible pit of miry clay. He set my feet up on a solid rock. He established my going. The Lord is my shepherd, I'll not want. Hey, he brought him from the mire and let him sing in the choir today, folks.
Yes.
He put a new song in my heart. A song of praise unto my God today.
Yes.
Even go on farther. When Ishbosheth revolted, and we see time after time in David's life, his children, it wasn't an ideal Christian life there. It wasn't an ideal home, but he was still a man after God's own heart. And David would say, he brought me up out of that horrible pit, set my feet up on a solid rock, and established my goings. Did David ever have a bad hair day? You girls use that expression sometimes, don't you? Did David? Well, certainly he did. In Psalms 42 and 5, he looked at his soul and said, why art thou cast down, O my soul? Is that what it says? Did I get the right chapter and verse? I'm getting old, so I forget sometimes. Verse 6. Oh, my God. It startled David. It said, my soul is what? cast down within me. Young man, you know what that means? David was a shepherd. What it means for the soul to be cast down. See, sheep, if they roll over on their back and get right on their spine, if they've got too much wool on them, or if they went through the mud and got too much mud on their wool, they'll lay there. They can't roll over and get back up on their feet. They'll lay there and literally, I'm talking about literal sheep now, okay? They'll lay there and literally strangle to death on their own body fluids. David had got so weak spiritually and so low spiritually, he felt like a sheep that's laying on his back. Hey, well, you know, sometimes we get too much of the world on us, right?
Right.
I said sometimes we get too much of the mud on us. We get too much wool and everything ain't been sheared like we should have been.
Yeah, man.
Huh? See, some sheep won't let you shear them.
Yes, sir.
You hear what I'm saying? I said some sheep won't let you shear them.
Right.
And when we get too much wool on us and we get too much mud on us and too much the world on us, we get cast down. And David saw himself there and he said, well, oh my God, said my soul is cast down within me.
Yeah.
And what did David do? David began to prime his soul. Anybody old enough to remember them old wells you used to have to prime?
Yeah.
Huh? I moved down here in Cincinnati when I was 10 years old, and we'd go back to West Virginia occasionally to visit, and along the road up on Route 52, they had them little roadside parks. They had these old pumps in there, but you'd have to pour 20 gallons of water in it to get them going.
Yep.
That's what you call priming the pump. David began to prime his soul. His soul was cast down. He couldn't get no joy out of it. He had no song in his soul there. And David began to prime it. He looked at his soul and he said, bless the Lord, oh my soul, and all this within me. He said, soul, I praise God. He brought me up out of a horrible pit of miry clay. I set my feet upon a rock, solid rock, established my going, and put a new song in my heart. He brought me up out of the mire, lest me sing in the choir. Hey, he primed his soul. He looked at his soul and he said, what shall I render unto God for all of his benefits unto me?
Yeah.
He looked around what God had brought him from, where God had brought him from, and God had made him a king there. He said, what am I going to do except for praise God? Bless the Lord, oh my soul, and all that's within me.
Yeah.
He brought me up out of a horrible pit of miry clay.
Yeah,
set my feet up on a solid rock and established my goings.
Yeah.
He said, my voice shalt thou hear in the morning, evening, morning and noon will I pray and cry aloud. David, not only like Daniel, but David believed in praying three times a day. Now, let me ask you a question. How long you saved, right? How long you been saved? 4 years. The first psalm was written. How many verses is in it? That's all right. I don't want to embarrass you, okay? How many verses in the first psalm, brother? Not sure. Oh, I'm glad you're honest. We're in church. There are six verses there. You know what it teaches us tonight? It teaches us how to be blessed. Blessed is the man. You're about to find it? Okay. It's good for women to read, too. Women can get blessed by it, too. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly. Is that what it says? Blessed is the man. It teaches you how to get blessed. Just in six verses there. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. See, that teaches us how to sit, how to stand, how to walk, does it not? Ain't that good?
Yeah.
Just in a few verses there. Teaches how to stand, how to sit, and how to walk. Is that right? Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. His delight is in the what? The law of the Lord. In his law doth he do what? Meditate. How often? Day and night. See, that word meditation, young man, comes from like a cow chewing its cud. You may not have been around farmers around cows. But that old cow chew that cud all day long, get all she can out of it. She'll swallow it. The next day she'll spit it back up and go at it again. That's what he wants us to do with the Word of God. He wants us to meditate upon it, chew it like that cow does it good. Get all we can out of it. Swallow it down, eat it in, take it inside. And then spit it back up the next day and go at it again. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is where in the law of the Lord, and his law did he meditate day and night. He shall be like a tree, what? what? That's planted by the rivers of water. He shall bring forth his fruit in due season. His leaves shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. You can prosper through listening to that psalm tonight.
Amen.
Right?
That's exactly right.
He taught us how to be blessed, right?
Amen.
But the ungodly are not so.
Right.
Is that what it said?
Yes, sir.
The ungodly are like the chaff that's what driven by the wind. The ungodly shall not stand where? In the judgment. See, the Bible said some men's are sins open beforehand going on to judgment, and other men's do follow them. See, I got mine already taken care of. Christ, now listen carefully tonight. Christ judged my sins. God, excuse me, judged my sin in the person of his son. See, when Christ went to Calvary, he took every sin I'd ever committed, ever will commit, put it on Christ and judged him like he done that. For he made him to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him tonight.
Absolutely right, preacher.
Some men's sins open beforehand, going on to judgment, and others do follow. See, the ungodly shall not stand in the judgment. They'll not have nothing to stand on. I don't care what kind of lawyer they got. There's no appeals.
Right.
Huh?
Yeah, man.
The ungodly shall not stand in the judgment, nor sinners. We're in the congregation of the righteous. I know preachers used to preach years ago, that means that the church gets real on fire with God. Sinners, no. It says the ungodly shall not stand in the judgment of sinners in the congregation of the righteous. We've always had sinners in the congregation of the righteous. We had the men of Solomon you read about, along with righteous Lot, did we not?
That's right.
Stood right with them, right?
Amen.
They vexed his soul, is that right? We had Judas right along with Christ. If anybody was godly, he was, right?
Right.
But there's come the day when God's going to do a separation.
Yes, sir.
Huh? And there's going to come a day when the sinners are not standing in the congregation, standing in judgment, the ungodly not shall stand in the judgment, nor sinner. There will be no sinner in the congregation. Right? We're going home to be with God, folks.
Amen.
We're going to get away from the perverted world that we're in.
Amen.
Down here today. I mean, every time I watch news, I get depressed and get upset and want to go out and shoot somebody. Huh? I know you folks know how I don't think like that, but we West Virginians do. In 150th Psalms, let me ask you a question. Nothing else comes, I may be in here tonight. Now you know how many verses in the first Psalms, right? Take a guess how many's in the last Psalm. Six. Well, you're good. Do you know there? Just guess it. You know what he teaches us in the last psalm, in them six verses? How to praise. He teaches us where we ought to praise him. From the what? Firmament to the tabernacle. You over there? He teaches us why we ought to praise him. Because of his mighty acts or works. Is that right? Are you there in the last psalm? Praise the Lord from the firmament to the tabernacle. Firmament is heaven, all the way from heaven to earth, earth to heaven. And then why we ought to do it? Because of his what? Mighty acts, is that what it says?
Yes, sir.
Boy, mighty works. He's done a lot we can praise him for, you know? And then he tells us what we ought to praise him on. How we ought to praise him. Any kind of a cymbal, musical instrument, you can find. Just go to town on it. Huh? That's what it says, all right? And if you can't play an instrument, if you're in the spirit, get up and dance.
Yeah.
That's all right. That's what he said.
Right.
I mean, that's book.
Yeah.
And then he tells us who ought to praise him.
Yes.
Let everything to have breath. You got breath tonight?
Yeah, man.
I said, you got breath tonight?
Yes, sir.
Then you ought to praise the Lord.
Yep. Yeah, man.
Then he brought it down individual, said, praise ye the Lord, right?
Yes, sir.
Is that right? Is that
yes,
the way
sir.
It reads? Individually, praise ye the Lord. I mean, it's okay to group praise the Lord, but every once in a while we all just praise him personally, huh?
Amen.
We all just look around and say, oh, the Lord, what shall I render the Lord for all of his benefits to me? We all just praise him for his benefits that he's rendered to you and I tonight, folks.
Yes.
When David wrote the 23rd Psalms, am I preaching too long?
No, sir.
Okay. I'm 70-something years old. Preach like this, that's rough on an old man. When David wrote the Psalms, some of them written in trilogies, like a 22nd, 23rd, and 24th Psalm. In the 22nd Psalm, we see the good shepherd dying for his sheep. You know how the 22nd Psalm starts out, Mom? The cry from the cross, my God, see that now? And so we see the good shepherd dying for his sheep. In the 23rd Psalm, we see the risen shepherd taking care of his sheep. He said, the Lord is my shepherd. See, now listen, that psalm is not a man talking. That's a sheep talking. As a sheep, he said, the Lord is my what? Shepherd. David puts himself in a position of a sheep. You understand that? He's the risen shepherd caring for sheep. In the 24th Psalm, he's a reigning king.
Yes.
The psalmist looked ahead when he'd come back to reign and said, the earth is the Lord's, the fullness of the world, and they that dwell therein.
Amen.
Young man, what does that word Lord mean? What's the word Lord mean? Do you not use it a lot of times? Pray to the Lord, sing to him? What's the word Lord mean? Master. But there's another word, owner. You call me Lord and Master, okay? I said all that to say this. He said, he that owns the world and all that's therein have become my beneficiary. He'd become my shepherd. See, a shepherd's responsible for the sheep.
Yes.
And then he started out, I'll not want. Yeah. Why? Because I've got a beneficiary that's going to take care of me. I got someone that's rich that's going to take care of me.
Yeah,
I've got a shepherd that's all-powerful that's going to take care of me.
Yeah,
right? See, are you married? You got children. When you brought them children to the world, you took on some responsibilities to see to it that they got a place to stay and food to eat and clothes to wear, right? Well, see, when the Lord took us in, he took on me as his responsibility. Ain't that amazing?
Yeah.
What a beneficiary I've got tonight, folks. He has a cattle on 1,000 hills. And he's going to take care of me. See, it's not only his responsibility to see that I got food and clothing and my health and what have you. So it's his responsibility to see to it I get to heaven.
Yeah.
Now let me say this tonight. I hope you understand this. If you don't get anything else, I want to say. See, the Lord is going to see to it I get to heaven tonight.
Yeah.
If not, his name is at stake tonight.
That's right.
He said, remember in the New Testament, he said, what man among you would set down or start to build a tower and not first of all set down and count up the cost? Anybody remember reading that? Lest after you start to build this tower, you don't have what's sufficient to finish. And then all of those that pass by is going to do what? Laugh at you. Dummy. He didn't count up the cost. He didn't have enough money to finish the tower. And everybody's going to make fun of you. Well, see, the Lord's name is at stake. If one of his blood-bought children don't get to heaven, he's going to be like the man that started to build a tower, started a task, and didn't sit down and count up the cost, and didn't have sufficient to finish. Hey, I'm glad he counted up the cost. I'm glad he's got sufficient to finish it tonight. And if he didn't, then all the demons of hell would laugh at him if one of his sheep was lost tonight. I'm glad he's my shepherd tonight. I'm glad I'm his responsibility tonight, folks. Is that understandable? Ain't that wonderful? And then let me close this out. He said, because the Lord, he that owns everything, is my shepherd, I'm not going to want anything. I'll not want for food. Why? Tell me. 23rd Psalm? He maketh me to do what? Lie down in green pastures. He maketh me. Sheep don't want to eat sometime. If they did, this house would be full tonight. And let me say something else. Sheep can't eat walking around tonight. All these folks running from church to church. They ain't going to get fed right.
That's right.
Need to get you a good church home?
Yes.
Settle down?
Yes.
What the shepherd does, he takes a rod and he hits that sheep over the head and says, lay down there. See, sheep eat laying down. Huh? I'm not one for food, for he maketh me to lie down. Where? In green pasture.
Yeah, yeah.
Ain't that a wonderful shepherd,
sir.
Tonight?
Yes, sir.
Yep. I'm not one for drink. Why? Now, he makes you eat. So when you get me, when I start eating, I get thirsty. Then he leadeth where? Besides what? Still waters. See, sheep, I'm talking about literal sheep, they have a sensitive mouth. Their mouth is so sensitive they can't even drink where the water's rushing and real strong. So a good shepherd would go over by the stream and he would dam him up a little piece of rock and clay and stuff like that and make him what they call a table or a cup. And he'd dip the water out of the stream. But now wait a minute. Sometimes that old clay and rock would get hot from the sun. So the shepherd would just keep dipping till the water run over and it got cool. My cup doeth what? Runneth over.
Yep.
And he makes a steel place where the sheep can drink. And hey, you watch it in church. If the storm comes up, sheep will drift off tonight. They can't drink where the water's rough tonight. And all this bunch that say they're saved and run around eating of the world and everything, they better check up on their identity tonight. Sheep can't eat on rags and tin cans like goats can. I'm not one for food. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. I'm not one for what else? Are you with me there? Comfort. For what? Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Sometimes some of those little lambs will get wounded. Sometimes they'll drift off from the fold. And you know what a shepherd will do? He'll go get that lamb and he'll break its leg. That's called chastening. You know the Lord, all that I love, I chasten and reprove. You ever been whipped of the Lord?
Yes,
he'd break that lamb's leg and he'd bring it back to the fold. I'm not one for comfort, for why? Thy rod and thy staff. He's got a rod and a staff. That rod, like I said, he used to hit on his head to make him lie down. That staff is what he had a hook on to reach down and pull him up out of danger.
Yeah.
Can I use these? Is it all right? What that shepherd would do, he'd take that lamb and he'd lay it down here by the camp. And he would take his rod and he'd lay it over here. Can I borrow your Bible? I'll just use this song. He'd take his staff and lay it over on this side. Then he'll take a cloak and lay it out here, and he lays that little lamb down there, and he gets to sleep over here. Those old rams. Hey, we got a lot of rams in the Baptist churches sometimes. Young lamb gets hurt and everything. Them old rams, what they do, they just butt it to death.
Yes, sir.
Are you with me?
Yes, sir.
I'm not one for comfort for thy rod and thy staff. They wouldn't cross over this rod and staff. They wouldn't cross over that cloak.
Yeah.
He'd sit over here on this side and protect that lamb.
Yeah.
And comfort that lamb.
Yes.
Wait till that lamb to get mended backward, get out there and walk and take care of itself. Hope it learned a lesson. Pick these up for me, would you please? You don't mind that, do you? I'll not want for comfort for thy rod and thy staff that comfort me. I'll not want for anointing for thou doest what? Thou anointest my head with oil. Sheep get these old nose flies. Go in their mucus and their snot. Is it okay to use that word? They get in their nostrils. And they literally drive them sheep crazy. I mean, they'll beat their brains out on a rock trying to get rid of those nose flies. But that good shepherd, He takes some sulfur and oil and linseed and mixes up this anointing oil. And he anoints his head with oil. Keep them old nose flies away.
Amen. Amen.
Every once in a while, the devil wants to torment me. Yeah. And the Lord just drops a handful of that anointing, that Holy Ghost from heaven. Huh? He anointeth my head with oil. My cup runneth over. Surely, I'll not want anything in this life for what? Goodness and mercy. I named them years ago. Goodness and mercy. Those are God's sheepdogs. You know that?
Yeah.
Every time I drift off to the right, goodness nibbles at my heels and tries to get me back on track.
Yeah.
Every time I drift off to the left, mercy nibbles at my heels and gets me back on track. Surely, positively, I don't want for anything in this life, for goodness and mercy are going to follow me. What? All the days of my life. I'll not want for anything in the life to come, for I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. I'm glad he brought me up out of the mire and put me in the choir tonight, folks. I'm glad the Lord is my shepherd tonight. I'm glad I'm saved tonight.